BlakeRadio.com.
This is Booker T.
Hey, everybody, it's Ted DiBiase, the Million-Dollar Man.
I'm Roddy Piper.
Hey, this is Shawn Michaels.
Hello, this is Mick Foley, and you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
The evolution of online sports entertainment steps back inside the square circle to once again bring you Wrestle Talk Radio.
Politically incorrect, and damn proud of it.
Join us as we cover everything from old school to new school, from the WWE.
This is Natty Neidhart.
This is Stampede Digital Wilson.
This is Harry Smith.
This is Gail Kim.
TNA.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam.
I'm Mojo.
Hi, this is Chrissy Annie, TNA Knockout.
This is the phenomenal one, AJ Styles.
And the indie scene.
It's still real to me, damn it.
With your hosts.
This is not a door to logical sense.
Tim Stein.
I'm not up on your young kid lingo.
Spug.
I was rowdy before rowdy got cool.
Mace.
Vinny, what does this kid stand?
Kenny Omega.
We got the
power! Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
It's okay to prove yourself as long as you have an action.
Yeah, baby.
And welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. You're listening to the Omega, the be-all, end-all of the WTR Network. And unfortunately, we do not have Spug here tonight because despite all the merchandise he sold and as much push as we gave him, well, he caught him doing something he shouldn't have been doing. So he's gone right now. But you're listening to me, and we also have Mace.
Yes, you do. You have me. I'm here. I don't have a press release, but I'm here.
But you are somewhat famous.
I know. My name crosses international borders. Isn't that illegal?
Only if you get caught.
Okay.
And of course, at the head, as always, the one and only Tim Stein.
Well, I'd like to say thank you very much to Mr. Donna for that wonderful intro, Mr. Prima Donna. And I've got a couple of horrible pieces of news to deliver. First up, as we all know, the tragic and sad and surprising and shocking and unbelievable passing of Amy Winehouse the other day. In other surprising news, the sun came out this morning. It's about time that we saw the reaction that we are seeing from Joe and Jane Public over these celebrity deaths, be it from stupidity or other stupidity. Omega.
Like, yeah, these self-entitled, oh, God. They caught her, you know, she died of an overdose. Woo! Surprise!
Yeah, well, you know, Amy, all I could have told you was take a look at John Belushi.
Take a look at the freaking mirror.
I mean, Jesus, Moses. Now, Tony in the chat room making a point that I have to agree with completely and hugely. Absolute tragic news coming out of Norway.
Very troublesome
and very disturbing. Gets overshadowed by somebody that, you know, it was surprised. The only surprise with Amy Winehouse is that she didn't die earlier. And some right-wing nut job in Norway goes on a shooting rampage, dresses up as a cop, plants bombs, and shoots. The death toll has reached 93. Now, this affects me because I happen to be half Norwegian. And I do believe Tony is Norwegian as well, as a matter of fact. So I was rather disturbed and upset over the improper press coverage over both events, Mace.
Well, I haven't really looked too much into the whole Norway thing, unfortunately. When all this hit the news, I was busy dealing poker, so I was working. But somehow I did find out Amy Winehouse died. when I heard she died, all I could do was lol, lol, lol. Anyway, but
did you just say lol, lol, lol?
You think you said lol, lol, lol?
Oh my God! Can you spell that for me?
Tim, you missed the joke completely. You stupid old man.
Oh no, I didn't like, joke at all.
Okay, before we roll this, one thing that I have heard basically in the last 24 hours about this whole Norway thing, the guy was an avid video gamer.
Oh, well, God.
And here comes another man for Australia.
Yeah, and here it is this past weekend in Australia. We're within reaching distance of finally having an R18 plus rating for our video games, treating adults like adults in our country. Now this happens, and all of a sudden, oh, look, it's the blame on video games. Oh, fuck, here we go, 10 years back in government.
Well, apparently this guy wrote some kind of 1,500-page manifesto, which 90% of it was copy and pasted from the Unabomber, Kaczynski.
Okay, so we have a plagiarist variant as well.
Google? Well, he knows how to use Google.
Oh, there you go. He can use the button on the Google machine, yeah.
Exactly.
So, yeah. So, you know, it's just about time we get our fucking priorities right. Who cares about Amy Winehouse? Move on. Norway's more important, for Christ's sakes.
But how about we get our priorities right and let's go to wrestling?
There you go. Thanks for that segue. Hey, guys, there's a new sheriff in town.
Again?
Yeah. Apparently, Triple H.
John Wayne's back?
Oh, it's Triple H. He's the new chairman of the board, with Vince McMahon being relieved of his duties. What do you think about this, Mason?
I have to wonder, wasn't Vince McMahon the chairman of the board, and yet there was a board meeting without him?
Well, that was kind of the idea. The angle was they had a board meeting without Vince.
I don't know. I'm just finding small logic gaps in there.
No, small logic gaps is they're just now firing him, not when he had a wrestling match against God.
Good point.
Yeah, that's a good
point. But then again, look at how many years of crazy ideas, matches, gimmicks, and everything else that he's done, especially in these past 10 years, you know, with him being able to survive a car blowing up, a stage falling on him, and of course, wrestling God. And now they're going, okay, you let CM Punk walk away with the title, and you're going to fire John Cena. That's crazy!
Okay, now you've gone too far, Vince. Now we had to put you down.
Well, here's a little interesting little non-stat as far as that goes. Vince has found a way to take him off TV, take himself off television, and away from the day-to-day stuff, you know, in front of the fans, every single year for the past several years. Macy pointed out a few different reasons, a few different ways. Wasn't the last time he took himself off TV the result of getting a beat down from Nexus?
Yep. He went into a coma, and then all of a sudden, I'm back!
Yeah, there was no rhyme or reason or any of that other crap with that one. But how would you guys handle the angle from this point?
Leave him off TV and actually finally commit to it for a change?
But do you do it permanently?
Honestly, I think so. I mean, the Vince McMahon character has had its run. I mean, it's done. It's over. Any other angle in wrestling would have ended a long time ago. Vince is the one character that has never changed, has never had a new dynamic. Even when he goes face, you know, it's still kind of antagonistic in a way. You know, he's, for the last 10 years, he's been the most consistent heel character on the show. I think it's time to just, you know, it's something that's become something of a crutch for the WWE, and it's time to take the crutch away, so they have to do something new.
Yeah. Well, what do you think, Mace? Do we see McMahon on TV at all over the next few months?
Of course we will.
Yeah.
This is now going to be a McMahon storyline. We're going to see him all over TV. He might not be there next week. He might not be there for the rest of the month or next month. He'll come back. He'll try and fight to get his company back. Probably leading up to, I don't know, SummerSlam. Or something, that there will be something, you know, it's not within the McMahon character to sit back and go, oh, I've been fired. Oh, well, I'm going to go and retire to Miami Beach, or no, he's going to turn around and he's going to fight this. Which means we're going to see McMahon versus Triple H on TV for the next couple of months, completely shifting the focus off the title like they did on Raw.
Okay. So you don't see Triple H's character as the boss on TV for the like next 5 or 10 years?
Not yet. Omega? It'll happen eventually, but not yet.
Okay, Omega?
I don't know. I just see this as the end of the McMahon character. Honestly, if this didn't end his character, that jacket he was wearing did.
Yeah, that was a priceless jacket. One of those straight out of the, late 60s Las Vegas. I'm not speaking from personal experience, despite what you guys might want to try to say. He said, interrupting that train of thought immediately.
It's like losing the belt just made his testicles drop, and he decided pink was good that day.
I better lost a bet. I don't know. With John Laurinaitis?
Yeah, I bet your punk loses. Well, if he doesn't, you got to wear a pink jacket.
Seriously, if that was the bet, I'd be very saddened. The bet should have been he has to go out and re-sing his song.
Oh, no. Please, not that.
Why, you want to embarrass the old man on television? That's how you do it.
Just rerun the damn clip that everybody already
has. No, live performance.
Got it.
Thank you, Rob. Knew that was coming.
Yeah, turn it off. Or at least turn it down.
Thank you.
Here we go. Yeah, I don't know about that. No, I don't think... No, no, no. Oh, God, no.
No, no, God, no, just no.
No, just no. So, hey, change of gears a little bit. Everybody's favorite non-employed employee, the WWE champion, CM Punk, he invaded Comic-Con. Omega, Mace, which one of you two guys is the bigger comic book geek?
I mean, Mace.
Yeah, that would be Mace.
Okay. So,
of course, the panel he did storm was the Mattel toy panel.
Of course.
It would be Omega's domain.
Yeah, we got a little bit of audio on this invasion.
Hey, I have a question.
Thank you.
there you go. There you have it. CM Punk at the Comic-Con. One thing I want to point out and ask you guys is something about. He got the crowd to go, "Whoa," and all this other noise when he told Triple H to give him a call. He thought Steph had his number.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't Steph have something to do with, like, with the talent? So wouldn't she have the phone number of most of the guys?
Well, the company would have his phone number. But that was meant to be more of a personal insult.
Mind you,
gotta give it to Triple H. You know, here it is. He's been in the WWE, and he usually has this great fire and intensity every time he cuts a promo or does anything, or, you know, he's acted and everything. But fuck me, did he have the emotion of a brick wall?
Yeah, it was almost like he was playing off like he was caught off guard.
And yeah.
A little too cardboardy.
He did have a good one line in there at the start, but it just kind of fell flat after that.
Yeah, how's life in the unemployment line? That was okay, but like you said, it fell down from there. What do you guys think about, you know, having Punk show up at all these different places with the WWE Championship, whether WWE is involved or not?
It's doing good. Keeps him in the limelight. And as long as these clips or these little invasions or whatever the hell Punk does still end up on WWE.com, he'll still be relevant. People will still be talking about him. So it'll keep things rolling until Punk is ready to come back in the ring.
There you go. Omega?
Pretty much the same. I mean, we have noticed the difference. I mean, it's all creating a buzz. It's making the rounds on the dirt sheets, on the news sites. It's getting more media attention because it's something different and it's something really interesting. Now we have seen that this is very selective. Punk showed up at an indie show.
Yeah.
And he didn't have the belt with him, but he had it at Comic-Con.
Well, you know, you stop and you think about it. It goes back a little bit to what Mace says, keeping everything fresh and keeping it in everybody's face. It's still garnering mainstream attention. This can only bode well for WWE as a whole. Or can you see this possibly backfiring and having the average Joe or Jane who hasn't watched wrestling in a while thinking, oh, well, maybe we'll watch again. Oh, wait, what's this on ESPN? And then they see the clip about Punk doing that, and they, you know, don't realize it's a storyline. They think it's real. It says, oh, well, it must have really gotten that bad if this guy wins the title and F's off. What do you think, Mace?
I don't think your average Joe would see that. They'd be, like, drawn into the character. They'd be drawn into what's going to happen with CM Punk next. So they might not be watching Raw or SmackDown or anything like that. They'll be watching CM Punk. And when Punk turns around and goes, all right, I'm going to go straight into one of their arenas. I'm going to go straight into their company and I'll cut this promo or I'll confront them. You know, I've got the belt. All of a sudden, all the eyes that have been watching Punk through all these different media, through ESPN and all that, they're suddenly turned to wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And if they have other storylines going on at the same time that are going to grip the viewer, all of a sudden, you got a whole heap of new eyes brought into your product. This is probably one of the best marketing gimmicks the WWE has come up with in a long time. And I hope it works, but at the same time, this has probably got a 4 to 6 month shelf life.
That long?
That short?
Well, I guess it depends on your point of view, half full, half empty, right? Omega.
You know, definitely long in your internet, video game, mass media, ADD kind of society that we live in.
There you go. But stretching it out for 6 months, is that a good idea? How long should they keep it going?
Actually keep it going. I don't think you... God, that's tough. I honestly don't think you keep it going that long. I'd see maybe a couple months run out of this.
Okay.
Enough time to crown a new champion and cry BS because the second a replacement belt is on somebody, this will get fired up again, which should happen Monday night, but at this point, you know, who knows?
Uh-huh. Well, here's an idea. Here's a thought, and just get your feedback on it, guys. The Rock has made some kind of cryptic tweet, and it's been all but confirmed that he's going to be appearing at Survivor Series, I do believe it is, at Madison Square Garden. Do you set it up so Punk keeps the original WWE title, whoever wins the new WWE title holds on to it through Survivor Series, or at least until Survivor Series? Punk shows up to confront The Rock from the crowd, from the audience, like he's a ticket-buying fan, and they kind of sort of twist the angle a little bit. What do you think?
No.
You wouldn't go that way?
I wouldn't. I'd go with the CM Punk shows up in the crowd with the belt.
Yeah.
And have that be your closing shot of the pay-per-view or something. You don't have him confront The Rock because you're wanting to build up Rock Cena for Mania.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been hard enough considering Dwayne doesn't like to appear on wrestling shows. And to be honest, if he is showing up at Survivor Series in Madison Square Garden, he's only doing it because it's at Madison Square Garden.
There you go. Yeah. Well, Omega.
Does he have a Disney movie to promote that week?
Probably.
Got him coming out every couple months at this rate.
Well, hey, Rock is going to be in Fast and Furious 6. So.
I would agree. There's a thin line here where you do have to... very thin line here where you have to keep The Rock relevant. Like, I would view it the same way as Cena has to work other angles over this next year until WrestleMania. So does The Rock. You have to keep him in the limelight. You have to keep people knowing, oh, hey, The Rock is going to be at WrestleMania. Oh, I remember that. That thing they set up the day after the show.
Yeah.
So, you have to, it's a very thin line between keeping him relevant and keeping people aware of him, but not diminishing what they're going to do. So, okay. Working with CM Punk, who beat Cena for the title, who's been closely related to Cena, you do have a little bit of room there where those two could have something going.
Well, our intrepid producer just threw out an idea into our behind the scenes chat. Have Punk show up in the crowd. Don't show him, but make sure that you record the crowd reaction.
No, I reckon you have a quick shot of him and then have some audio of get him off, get that off my screen, like Hunter backstage or something. Just patch the audio through. Get the camera off him. He's not one of us. Get the camera off him.
That is a thought. That might be an interesting addendum to the producer's thought and idea. Definitely, absolutely.
It'd be like what Vince did at the end of the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
You know, close the show, end it, stop the music, rah, 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 rah. You know, something like that would keep people hot, keep them interested.
And that's exactly what they have to figure out how to keep doing, is keeping this crowd hot, keeping them interested. Omega pointed it out, like, the attention span of people is actually starting to become as short as it's been alleged for years. And so in this era of instant gratification, I guess you could say, you've got to do something to keep things pumping through. This might be a good idea.
I've got another quick idea to keep people interested in what Punk is doing. Have him appear on Zack Ryder's show.
Hey, there you go. He did mention Zack Ryder, didn't he?
Yep.
You know, put Zack Ryder on TV or whatever. So, not a bad idea. All right. Well, guys, I think it's time for our first little time out of the evening. Everybody listen to WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Just a quick little note to anybody who might be catching the broadcast on Justin TV, and they're on the Justin TV site, and they're in the chat room on Justin TV, wondering where the hell we are. We are at www.wildtalkradio.com. We're using a different chat room. Come on over and interact with us and everybody else listening to the show. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back right after this.
every Tuesday night, wrestling's biggest name. Stop by OWW Radio.
Hey, this is World War Animal. This is Rick, the model of Montreal.
This is the king of old school, Keith Carino.
It's me, it's me. It's that D-O-double-G.
This is George the Animal Steel.
Tune in as Alan Wojcik and his contributors bring you the online world of wrestling radio, Tuesday nights at 9 Eastern.
If you want some, come get some.
Only on Wild Talk Radio Network on wildtalkradio.com.
19-2-6-Bet! Sucker!
This is the Godfather of Extreme, Rob Parks. Tune in every Saturday, midnight-ish, for CB Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
And now, a message to our competitors.
Thanks
for tuning us in.
Wednesday nights, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you O'Tuttle Talk Live.
I got a 15 on the intelligence roll.
Okay, what are you doing with it?
Trying to find a slinky.
Okay, you find a slinky, but it's one of those cheap new plastic ones.
This slide. Go to the top of the stairs.
I yell, watch out for paint cans.
Duck.
Okay, since he is smart enough to say duck, he dodges the duck that swings down from the top.
Duck and dodge paint cans, ducks, and any other flying object.
Okay, you also ducked the free pussy that flew by, but that's okay. You're now at the top of the staircase, with a slinky in hand.
Put the slinky on the top stairs and tip it over.
I get our following to, Shaniqua's following to, members, and we all start going, go, 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 go!
Alright, hang on a second. Dun. Oh, the slinky stops halfway down.
Oh!
God, I hate when that happens.
You know what? At this point, I'm gonna roll for the steal and the win.
Wait, what?
LEB Rule, Chapter 7. Subsection 15.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, you're right. Oh, I'm sorry. Roll a d20.
I hope Bob Barker doesn't own this castle.
For more geekiness, tune into O'Tuttle Talk Live, 9 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
Hey, I just can't stand.
And you are listening to Wild Talk Radio.
That really moved. I said, chill. I came to play.
There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees. And pray.
I came to play.
To ride to eternal fame. They're never coming back. Watch it, you
I came to play.
To get my two pay. I guess you had a dream, but it can't be.
And welcome back to WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Everybody, if you want to call in tonight, we can make that happen for you. But it's up to you to pick up the phone or get on your Skype. If you want to call in from your cell phone or your home phone, the phone number is... What is the phone number? 267-297-1397. Or, if you want to use your Skype, just Skype Sir Rockin'. And we'll bring you on to the show. You can talk about whatever the hell you want, as long as it's wrestling related. I guess. Wrestling related phone calls we want to take, right, guys?
We would take anything but phone sex lines, I suppose.
There you go. Okay.
Yeah, so, those rare phone sex lines that call you.
Yeah, they give us $4.99 a minute.
Okay, now I'm not so sure that I want to be talking to anybody working on a sex line that has to do that.
What, you don't think we're popular enough?
Not yet. What? Oh, we all can't all be Omega.
We all know that.
Nobody's bought me a blow-up doll like they buy him, so what can you do?
No one was supposed to know about that donation.
Oops. Well, I won't tell anybody it was from Spug. Oh, damn it. Sorry, Omega.
Absolutely no confidentiality here.
Well, you never said keep it quiet. Sorry.
No surprise.
Anyway, seeing as we've been talking about stuff going on Raw last week, what do you guys think of the tournament so far to find a new WWE champion, Omega?
Honestly, no real surprises in it. I mean, Miz and Mysterio, I don't know, your go-to heel and your go-to face, and you know, both ending up with a chance to be champion.
Yeah.
Not a real big surprise. I mean,
did you have more, or was that it?
No, that's pretty much it. I am not surprised in the least in the tournament so far.
Okay, nice.
Pretty much agreeing with Omega there. You know, here it is. They had an opportunity, as Triple H has said in that Comic-Con clip that we had. You know, new era, new regime. Well, why
same
not
old
push
tricks.
Some new guys? Yeah, pretty much. Same old tricks.
Okay, there you go.
Unless Triple H walks out on Monday going, guess what? That spinner belt? Gone. Look, here's a pretty new belt. You guys, why don't you guys get it? Oh, look, here comes Alberto Del Rio. Have fun.
There you go. Okay. So, Mace, who do you think they're going to give the belt to? Not who you want to win, but who do you think is going to win?
Well, this is the thing. It can go either way. As Omega said, you know, it's their number one, well, pretty much their backup number one face and their backup number one heel. So it can go either way. At the moment, I'm probably leaning towards Rey Mysterio for no reason whatsoever.
Okay, Omega?
It'll be Mysterio. If I want it to be The Miz, I really do. But it'll end up being Mysterio, and then it'll end up being Del Rio.
Okay. Yeah, you figure it'll be Mysterio getting thrown into the mix there because he's had the world title twice?
No, I think it'd be Mysterio because the fans will pop to it, hooray, hooray, and then Del Rio will be even the bigger villain.
Interesting. Okay, so it's a toss-up. If you guys have any thoughts, feel free to share them with us. Moving on, guys, we got a little something we're going to do here. Something tiny little bit brand new. How's your smart radar and your dumb radar?
What?
How is your radar for smart, and how is your radar for dumb?
You missed the joke again, Timothy.
I just refuse to, like, play into the joke, that's all.
And yet you want us to play into yours.
Well, of course, because, like, that's just the way it goes. Anyway, here's the idea. Okay, gonna ask you something, you tell me what, if it's smart or dumb. And then you tell me why. Well, I'll start with you, Mace. Smart or dumb? Ric Flair to challenge for the TNA World title in September.
Dumb. Why? Because it's Ric Flair, who has been very much irrelevant as of late. Mm-hmm. Coming out of nowhere to win the TNA title. Might as well. Fucking anybody with an old man hip can fucking win it. So, Tim, when are you getting your title shot?
You're a funny fucker.
Damn
he
right.
Can't get a title shot in TNA because he was never working for WWE.
Or WCW. Omega, your turn.
What? Same question?
Same question. Smarts or dumps?
Dumb. Not dumb. Ric Flair, you know, Ric Flair's a good 10, even 15 years past his prime at this point. The guy cannot work a match again. Especially if, you know, this is how much I follow TNA. Who are the choices in opponents here? It's Sting and who?
Kurt Angle.
Kurt.
At this point in time with the current storyline.
Sting is not nearly at his prime either, but Rick cannot hang in the ring with either of them at this point. It just strikes me as posturing on Flair's part, but other than that, no, this is stupid, dumb.
Okay. And we're going to stick with you, Omega, for question number two, smart or dumb. Daniel Bryan to cash in at WrestleMania. Add to that his announcing that he's going to cash in at WrestleMania. Smart or dumb?
Well, it's probably smart, if only because it's going to give a lot of people time to look into him and, you know, build up some hype. But it's so risky when they did this. They tried this with Anderson. He got injured and they had to take it off of him. So attempt number two.
Yeah,
I do like it that in the history of Money in the Bank, only Rob Van Dam has cashed it in at a time when it was fair, like one-on-one type match.
Yep.
So this does give Bryan a lot more credibility character-wise. That part I like.
Base.
This would be a smart move because it means that WWE is going to have enough faith in him to keep him as the Money in the Bank guy until WrestleMania, which is good for us wrestling fans because we might actually get to see a wrestling match, much like we did at the last pay-per-view, despite it having Cena in it.
Now, the only question is who's going to wind up being the World Heavyweight Champion by the time WrestleMania rolls around?
CM Punk.
Have him have
you can only dream.
Come back, go to SmackDown, have both titles. Interesting. Unified belt, not since Brock Lesnar.
We could have like CM Punk returning like every couple months to take another belt off of WWE TV.
Until they have no belts.
Exactly. Main event for WrestleMania, the Women's Championship.
Oh my god, no.
No, Punk will have that next.
Yeah.
You just won't see the match happening.
I pawned the belts to afford a sex change.
Oh god.
Hey, you can just put on a dress like Santina Marella did.
Alright guys, our next basically our last one. Smart or dumb, Mace, is it a good idea to set up matches for WrestleMania this far ahead of time?
I'd go with dumb only because you have to try and keep people's interest in them. As Omega said earlier in the show, we live in basically an ADD world. So you got, what are we at now? We're in July, so September, October, November. Yeah, you got many, many, many months. About at least in what, another 9 or so months? Along those lines, 8 months. To keep people's interest. The generalized wrestling fan, or your smart marks, your hardcore wrestling fans, even your marks, they're gonna be interested. The ones that you gotta try and keep the attention of is the casual viewer who want to plonk down $50 to buy WrestleMania. And if you can't keep their interest, well, then you're screwed.
Alright, and Omega, you go.
No, dumb. It builds hype, but at the same time, it undercuts your events all the way leading up to WrestleMania. Because it's kind of inconsequential when you know exactly what's coming down the line. Especially for, you know, your smart marks who know that, well, you know, going into that kind of matchup, you know, most likely Cena won't be the champion, you know. Now we know a heel's gonna have the belt on SmackDown. You know, it sets up things that become predictable. You know, and it just naturally makes you lend, you know, your mindset into, you know, it's gonna go down this way, this way, this way, and this way. Not to mention it's an eggs in one basket type scenario. One thing goes awry here, if Cena or The Rock or, you know, Daniel Bryan get injured in that time, then your months and months and months of hyping, like, you know, they could go 9-10 months of hype and then get injured. And it's all to crap.
Right down the tubes, pretty much. But then again, you know, if you leave it for 2 months and then you
the guy could still get injured right before WrestleMania too, right?
Disney, please, for the as much as I hate watching The Rock in your goddamn movies, offer him a role at before WrestleMania so he can't make it.
There you go. Yeah.
Race to Witch Mountain 2.
Oh my god. The first one was bad enough.
Taking a look at the news of the week now. I guess pretty much the biggest is Sin Cara being suspended last week for violating their talent wellness program. Spoke to a Mexican newspaper to record his innocence, or the record, the Mexican newspaper, the record, to protest his innocence. Now, is he trying to explain why the suspension happened, or is he trying to cover some butts here when he says, okay, he has a knee injury, they injected me with steroids or with some kind of something to heal it up, and there's steroids in it, and then it tested positive. But the thing is, he tested positive in June, and it was set up that he was, you know, severely injured and carted out on a stretcher at Money in the Bank, you know, storyline-wise. Isn't it kind of a big gap in time there between being...
Yeah, I thought the wellness policy was supposed to be completely impartial. You know, the second you test positive, suspension, you're done, off TV. I mean, it'd be one thing, because I know there's a clause in there where, well, if they're working a current angle, they won't get paid for it. But uh-huh. They're technically still suspended. They just have to perform till we can write them out for 30 days. But at the same time, he wasn't really in any angle. He was just there doing matches every week.
Well, my question is, what are the chances WWE is going to enforce a suspension once it is known or realized that it was the medication the doctor gave him that contained a cortical steroid and caused him to test positive? Mace?
You know what? I really don't care. I don't care what excuses he got. I don't care why. The dude hasn't been impressive. Kick his ass back to Mexico. I really don't give a flying fuck.
That's the part that surprises me the most in this whole situation, is how fast WWE is going to cut bait on him, because they're already talking about not bringing him back at all, even after the suspension. And as far as I can tell, the only thing he's done wrong is not completely live up to the hype, or at least not mesh well with WWE's style.
Well, there's a bone of contention as far as WWE style goes. All of the botch matches that we see, or that we have seen him in, you know, like everyone, every single one of them. Some factions are saying, well, it's because the WWE guys don't know how to work with him. And then other people are saying, well, it's because he's not capable of adapting to WWE style. Which one is it?
I think it's a little
both.
Bit of, yeah, it's a little bit of both, because, I mean, we've seen where, yeah, I still think back to his tag match where he was tagging with Cena, and Cena, like, didn't even know where the hell to put, you know, like, Sin Cara was going up to the top for a finish,
yeah.
And, Cena didn't even know where to put his opponent for the move.
Yeah.
So he ends up completely missing it because Cena put him way too close to the turnbuckle.
Yeah. Well, I've only seen, what, three separate matches with Sin Cara where it wasn't at least a partial botch fest, really. Certain workers that are currently in the WWE, and there's a precious few of them, who are able to work with Sin Cara, with, you know, meshing both styles and making it look good. Mace, can you point out an example?
I'm trying to think, and I can't even think of one. I'm wondering how you got three.
What about you, Omega?
Well, it's kind of difficult when they keep firing the people that could. How you doing these days, Chavo?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, and well, even Chavo screwed up the finish a couple of times.
Chavo screwed up the finish. Primo horribly botched on Sin Cara's first match.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, that's the kind of example I point to. I mean, you know, John Cena being at fault, Primo being at fault because he tripped on the top rope.
Yeah.
These aren't Sin Cara's fault in the least. He just happens to be the one in the ring when it happens.
I would
point it more toward the fact that WWE, their style in the ring and the way they retrain people to wrestle a certain way, even if they are a daredevil high flyer. You know, we knew it when Paul London and Brian Kendrick ran through the WWE system, where they got toned down and dumbed down completely.
Yeah.
From what you would see in ROH or even old school TNA. But you see that, and it, when you realize, it's not just the fact that these wrestlers who are coming in as high flyers and get turned into WWE wrestlers, it's also the fact that the WWE wrestlers don't face any opponents like that anymore. So they can't adapt what they do in the ring to high energy, high flying wrestling anymore.
Yeah. Well, how many matches did he have against Daniel Bryan? Didn't he do like two matches with Daniel Bryan?
Not enough.
Yeah. So there were two matches. One match they really put together something really, really fun to watch. And the other one was nothing to write home about, but it was solid. And it was essentially almost botch free. And another match I saw him against was Tyson Kidd. They did a pretty good job in their match with each other. But for the rest of them, I don't know. So
yeah, but you take a look at the fact of the two guys you've just named, Daniel Bryan and Tyson Kidd.
Yeah.
Both of those guys haven't really been overly climatized to the WWE environment. They still wrestle like they're wrestling in the indie scene, where you get to go up against guys like Sin Cara who move that quick. Guys like Primo and Chavo have been sitting in the WWE for many years and have become acclimatized to their way of wrestling.
Yeah,
and they can't go back to what they used to be able to do. That's the big difference between the two lots of matches.
Yeah, true. I just want to remind everybody once again, catching the broadcast on Justin TV, if you guys are hanging out in the Justin TV chat room on the Justin TV site, you're not going to see us there. We're using a different chat room. And you can find the chat room and everybody else who's interacting with us, and we're in the chat room as well. Just come to www.wildtalkradio.com, get into the chat room, and get interactive with us. Once again, don't forget, you can call the show. If you got Skype, all you have to do is Skype Sir Rockin. That's ROCKIN, no G. Or pick up your telephone and dial 267-297-1397. Long-distance charges may apply. Jersey, not too long ago, I think right before the show, said we hadn't seen Jinder Mahal on SmackDown very much recently. Apparently, he has not impressed some WWE officials at live events. The feeling going that going from doing squash matches on TV to house shows, you know, not being on TV anymore. He's a little bit too green, a little greener than they originally thought. And some are saying that Jinder Mahal, may have been called up too quickly. He's been booked with Daniel Bryan at live events a lot because Bryan is seen as a talent who can keep matches together and carry his opponent when necessary, Omega.
Well, I kind of like that news story, if only because it kind of signifies how good of a worker Bryan is for the WWE. It's nice to know he's appreciated somewhere, even if he's not getting as much of a push as he deserves. At the same time, didn't there used to be checks for this shit? Didn't we have more than like one person from the WWE actually watch these people in the ring before deciding, oh, they're ready to be brought up to the main roster?
Well, maybe
the second guy was a victim of WWE's cutbacks as well.
It's just like, okay, if you're this unhappy with Sin Cara's performances, how the hell did you hire him in the first place? If you're this, if Mahal has been this green, why hasn't anyone noticed before now? It goes back to, like, how the fuck did Braden Walker get on the air?
Excuse me while I choke.
Yeah, well, the original reason purported for Jinder Mahal's hiring by the WWE, don't you? It was because he could speak Punjabi and they wanted to put somebody in with Kali.
You mean other than the guy who was already speaking it?
Yeah, who happens to actually be a writer for SmackDown.
Huh.
Who was taken off television either, I'm not sure why, it was either because he didn't want to be on TV anymore or they decided not to have him on TV anymore. He was taken off TV and he was concentrating full time on his writing. But I don't know.
I just want to know how it happens. I honestly do want to know what the hell goes into this. To the point where someone as green as him gets on the air. I have not been impressed with this guy in the slightest. Since he first came up, it honestly seemed like they brought him up just because they ran out of things to do with Kali and they like to show off Kali because, ooh, isn't he tall?
Yeah. And then they realized, oh, okay, he's tall, but fuck, he can't do anything. What are we gonna do? I know what, the Kali kiss cam. Great solution.
Okay, great. Let's rip off Maria's gimmick. Why not?
Why the hell not?
She's only one of our most over divas in years, and we're going to fire her anyway.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, WWE is looking to hire somebody with a sports background to groom them for working in talent relations. I figure we might as well segue into this one and make this thing, you kind of brought it up, right? There's lots of talk within WWE about John Laurinaitis and his long-term future with the company. It's no secret Triple H isn't a big fan. And Laurinaitis has always been compared in a negative way to Jim Ross when it comes to talent relations. It's been discussed that John Laurinaitis is going to be established as a new TV character, maybe a stooge for Triple H, like Briscoe and Patterson were to Vince McMahon. What do you think?
Laurinaitis looks nothing like his brother.
What a letdown!
Hey, that
no shit.
A letdown. Okay.
We can see which one got all the muscles and ability in that family.
Yeah. Well, and what did John get? Nothing.
Exactly. He got a suit.
So, as far as John Laurinaitis being put on camera, removed from talent relations, it's a big. Yeah, who cares?
I believe I have a t-shirt expressing my opinion on this matter.
For everything else, what is there?
Meh.
There you go. And apparently you can buy that at an EWA shop zone or something like that. I don't know. Fuck, whatever.
CBRadio.EWAZone.com. Learn how to pimp shit.
Oh, I know how to pimp shit when it's my shit. Speaking of pimping shit, we're going to take our next time out. Everybody listen to WTRS and the Night Russell Talk Radio right here on Wild Talk Radio Network. Just before we go to break, Omega brought up Maria. Hey, she's going to be on the Wild Talk Radio Network this Tuesday night on OWW Radio with your host, Mr. Personality, Alan Wojcik. Make sure you tune in this Tuesday night, 9 o'clock Eastern, and catch Maria Kanellis. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back right after this.
Do you have a certain passion? Maybe you're a geek, a wrestling fan, a sex enthusiast, or you just need something to do for the evening. Then come check out the Wild Talk Radio Network, providing you with the latest in online entertainment. Whether it's getting in the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio, or getting a little R-rated with CB Radio or Anything Goes, or whether you just want to play a game of Dungeons & Dragons with the geeks over at Utaku Talk Live, all you gotta do is head on over to www.wildtalkradio.com and check out all of our daily programming. Wild Talk Radio Network. Come and get wild with us.
Hey everyone, this is the original voice of wrestling, Tim Stein. Catch me talking sense about the WWE, TNA, and the rest on the real voice of professional wrestling talk, Wrestle Talk Radio, Sunday nights, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Do you have a business that you are looking to take online but have no idea what an HTML or a JPEG is? Do you currently have a website that is in need of an overhaul? Or do you have a website that needs updating but you don't have the time to do so? If the answer to any of these questions is yes, then you need to check out WTRProductions.tk, where you can get quality web design and management at an affordable rate. Looking to get the lowdown on all the services we offer? Then shoot us off an email by checking out our contact section so that we can help you get started building your online home. WTR Productions. High quality work for an affordable rate. Built the way you want. Located at www.wtrproductions.tk.
Wild Talk Radio.
The rest of this bumper can be heard for $4.99.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Hello, Fiat Restaurant. May I help you?
Oh, yes. I'd like to make order, please.
What would you like?
Vegetable fried rice.
Huh?
Vegetable fried rice.
Only vegetable.
Vegetable
Hello?
Fried rice. Hello?
Yes.
Yes. Vegetable
no
fried
meat.
Rice.
And do you egg is okay? No egg.
Egg okay. Egg okay.
Okay.
No bok choy?
Oh, we don't have bok choy.
No bok choy? Okay.
Yes.
Snow peas? You have snow peas?
Yeah, we have snow peas.
Extra snow peas.
What do you mean? You mean the fried rice?
Yes, fried rice.
Oh, fried rice, we don't have snow peas.
No snow pea?
Yeah.
The chicken? You put chicken in there?
Yeah, we have chicken fried rice.
But
you want chicken fried rice?
No, I want the vegetable fried rice with the chicken.
Oh, that means chicken fried rice, yeah?
No, vegetable fried rice with the chicken.
Hello, we have seafood fried rice, beef fried rice, chicken fried rice. Or if you don't want meat, we can make a vegetable fried rice for you. So you want chicken or no chicken?
No, I want the vegetables and the chicken. Can you do both?
We have like a fried rice, we have green peas inside. Not too much vegetables.
Never mind. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hello out there. This is the very boring Jay Lethal, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio.
Broken, yeah, you believe in all the edge of a broken dream.
love that song, and I don't know why, Rock. Welcome back to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We pretty much don't have much of anything planned for this segment, everybody. So if you want to call in, we'd like you to call in. Once again, if you got Skype, all you got to do is Skype Sir Rockin', or pick up the telephone and dial 267-297-1397. Just be aware, long-distance charges may apply. Mace, it's Monday afternoon for, well, Monday noon for you, isn't it?
1 hour past noon, but yeah.
Okay, 1 hour past noon. So what did you do on your weekend?
I played World of Warcraft and then went and dealt poker.
Oh, God, World of Warcraft. Omega, what did you do on the weekend?
Let's see. This weekend I finished up production on a new video and started setting up for the next one.
Ah. No press releases?
None this week.
How come?
No, I guess I just wasn't famous enough this week.
Oh. Well, that kind of sucks to be you then.
But you finished the video. Shouldn't that be a great time of celebration?
Just means the next one's on the way.
So, Tim, what do you do this weekend?
Thank you for playing! I actually went to an indie wrestling event held here in Calgary that apparently nobody knows about.
Say what?
Yeah, apparently this is not an exactly brand new thing going on, but not a lot of people know that there's something in Calgary right now called TCW Wrestling. Now, don't ask me what TCW stands for, because...
But I want to know. I want to know. Tell me.
No. Because, you know, I'll just say some smart-ass thing like Todd's Championship Wrestling.
Really? That's what it stands for, Tim?
Yeah, thanks to both Sir Rockin' and Josh Stockett. Jesus Christ. He makes such a good monkey, Rock. How long have you known him?
Ooh, 6-7 years.
Oh, I don't know who to feel more sorry for, him or you.
But at the show, what did you do at the show, Tim?
Anyway, just hung out and checked out the show and, you know, just see what's going on. They actually had from different parts
he
of
was,
Canada.
He was looking at poaching talent.
Shush. I don't know what you're talking about. Nobody knows what you're talking about. Shut the fuck up. Thank you. Yeah, no, they actually had some pretty good talent there. I know there are a couple of people in Edmonton and the Calgary area that do listen to the show. Somebody tuned in right now who was actually at the show last night who thinks that I caught him talking smack about me after the show was over. And all I can say, Charlie, is get over it. I heard everything. Relax.
Somebody talking smack about Tim Stein? Novel concept.
Yeah, there it is. See, the thing was, he wasn't talking smack about me. He was just talking about this one wrestler who was selling an injury so well that apparently, he had somebody who knows a little bit more than the average fan about wrestling fooled. Well, not really. I was, you know, getting into the spirit of the thing and all that other stuff. So
you were fooled, don't lie.
Oh, bite me. Anyway, they had a roster of guys named AJ Sanchez, Kato, who I guess is one half of the Real Canadian Wrestling Tag Team Champions out of Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. Rom Dante teamed up with a guy named Logan Cross to take on Steven Styles from Real Canadian Wrestling. And some upstart kid named Bucky Briggs, I don't know, he should change his name. To Mike Buckley, but they fought for the TCW tag titles. And Andre Williams from Quebec took on some guy named Zach Mercury. And then Logan Cross, in a second match of the night, faced off against some guy named Matt Fairlane, who wrestles out of Winnipeg. And then there was a lumberjack match for the title. Some guy who calls himself Hot Shot Danny Duggan took on Rom Dante for the TCW heavyweight title. And
hold on. Hot shot who?
Hot shot Danny Duggan.
Gimmick infringement.
Yeah, I was about to say a friend of ours might have something to say about that.
Well, there you go. A friend of ours happens to be the guy who trained Hot Shot Danny Duggan out of Winnipeg. Hot shot Johnny Devine trained Hot Shot Danny Duggan. And I'm watching this match, you know, as the main event, and I'm thinking, geez, you know, The guy's got a good look, but he doesn't look familiar. But shit, what he's doing sure looks familiar. So, after the show, I introduced myself, said hi to him. And I just said, yeah, you're out of Winnipeg, huh? Who trained you? He goes, oh, Johnny Devine. And I, oh, fuck, there it is! Like, literally, just yelled it out, you know, there it is! And he's like, what? He says, well, I know Hotshot Johnny Devine real well. I've known him since, like, 2001. And I was wondering why you just reminded me of somebody while I was watching you work in the ring. Now I know why. And he goes, oh, yeah, okay. We got heat with each other, or at least we used to. And I'm like, oh, okay. You, Johnny Devine, having heat with anybody? Wow. But it was not a bad night. It was really short. They only had the, those five matches. But they had some really, really good talent, wrestling. I mean, this kid, Bucky Briggs, is one of the newest trainees from, well, I should say graduates, actually, from Storm Wrestling Academy, trained by Lance Storm. He's been wrestling since April of this year. And the kid's still green, but he's got a bunch of moves. He's going to be really, really good, and I expect to see some really big things from this guy in the coming years anyway. He's just a young man, and very, very entertaining. He's full of potential. Mace, as a wrestler, you know what I'm talking about when I talking about a guy like this, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, you're thrown into a tag match because, like, he's still super green and stuff like that. I don't quite trust him to work a full out program on his own.
Covering the floors, in other words.
Yeah, there you go. And when it's his turn to get into the ring and show what he can do, he basically sees the moment, and it's one of those things, wow, he's got it. And this is what happened with that kid. I mean, you can just feel it. He's got it. So if you're in the Calgary area tuning into the show tonight, even as far as Edmonton, make the trip down. What the hell? Won't cost you any more than a tank full of gas. But next time TCW Wrestling holds a show, show up. Support your local indie fed. That's all I can, you know, all I can really say. These shows are never disappointing. Get onto Facebook and do a search for TCW Wrestling and see what comes up. And like the page. Like it. Join the group.
That's some shameless plugging by Tim Stein.
There you go.
It's patented at this point.
No. What Rock does is patented.
See, it's quite interesting that you did bring up one of Storm's little graduates, because I had a chance, not this past weekend, but the weekend before that, to check out one of his first graduates, a guy who wrestles under the name Carlo Cannon.
Okay.
And I've known Carlo for a long time. I started training with him down here in Melbourne. And back then, I'm like, this kid is going places. I saw him the other week, and I'm like, what the fuck happened?
Uh-oh.
Yeah, this is... I don't know whether he's disregarded Lance's training or something. He's got a gimmick that, while, yes, it is interesting to watch how over-the-top he does it...
Uh-huh.
I think he forgot how to wrestle.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. And after seeing this, after seeing Carlo on also, was it House of Pain or whatever it was? You probably saw that, Tim, the Lance Storm Tough Enough ripoff thing.
Oh!
Shown over in Canada.
Yeah.
World of Hurt.
World of Hurt, that's the one. Some pain, hurt, whatever. You know, you see how Lance puts over the fact, yes, you have a gimmick, but remember, you have to wrestle. Wrestling is where entertainers. Seeing Carlo, I'm like, I want to go up to him after the show, slap him across the face and say, did you forget everything Lance taught you? But, yeah, and also on that show was the recent signee for WWE Developmental, Tennille Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I sit there and I wonder, how the fuck can somebody who botches that many moves get a developmental contract? Then I talked to her afterwards. Dumb, blonde, big tits. That explains it. Mind you, boy, did I get a dirty look when I turned around and I told her, I hope you do well in FCW.
Ooh.
Because she's been touting the fact that she's going to be a WWE diva. And oh. I turned around and I said, yeah, I know where you're going. Good luck in FCW.
Oh.
I got the dirtiest of dirty looks then. I walked away and I laughed.
That was
like kind of, being an asshole. Well,
that was just mean of you.
I know.
That was so cool.
How dare you bring up reality to that poor girl? Especially when she can't even spell it.
There you go.
Hey, it was better than when she was actually wrestling in the match and she ended up losing, as traditionally you do in your last match. And I've gone, best of luck in your future endeavors. And again, I got shot at dirty look. And I smiled. I have fun breaking the wrestlers at local shows.
You're just mean.
This is why you're lonely.
Are you lonely, Mace?
I'm not lonely. Fuck that.
Talk about it.
I have great fun going out destroying people's minds and their lives. It's awesome.
Yeah, I'll tell you shit. Omega, don't ever do shit like that when you become like Mr. Popularity because you got a fucking press release.
Oh no, we've already had the episode of OTL where we had to address Omega as the Omega, and he had decided to address himself in the third person for the entire episode.
Oh my god, no. If you smell what the Omega's cooking.
Technically, it's been the Omega for years,
being a prick about it. Yeah, you're just being a prick about it now.
Yeah. We have another host who still isn't here tonight. Don't call him Bug Guy anymore.
We don't call him that Spug Guy. We just call him Spug. That is, you know, like between the three of us, that is a dumb fucking name for a wrestler. I don't give a damn what he thinks.
That's because he doesn't use that one as often anymore. He had to retire that gimmick.
Yeah. Well, what does he call himself now?
You'd think I'd remember.
Dumbass Drew or something? No, I'm kidding.
No.
It used to be
again,
Tank.
He's another guy that uses the last name Cannon.
Yeah, I know that his last name is Cannon.
Well, what first name does he use? Diane?
I'm trying to remember.
No, can't remember.
And now,
coming from Canton, Ohio, Diane Cannon.
But we will have footage of Smug wrestling on the Wild Talk Radio Facebook at facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. So check that out this week. So we'll have footage up.
Wait a minute. Smug's first name, Loose.
Ha, ha, ha.
I know. We got it wrong, Rock. It's actually Cannon McHammond.
Ah. There you go.
Cannon McBanana Hammock, I don't know.
He walks around in a skirt.
Kilt.
Same thing.
Oh, it's a good thing that Kix doesn't have internet, because she would be on your fucking case.
Well, she'd be on my case. I'm not the one wrestling in a skirt.
No, you're the one calling a kilt a skirt. She's Scottish, remember?
And your point is? Since when have I ever been afraid of cakes?
I never said you'd be afraid of it. I'm just saying that, like, she would annoy you about it, and she'd be on your case. Of course, she gets pissed off at me when I call it a skirt, too, so what the fuck?
Exactly.
What you gonna do, right? What you gonna do? Oh, well, life's rough. Life's a bitch. So is my ex-wife. We've been down that road before.
So what's next?
I think
this is your show. Lead us.
Yeah, the next thing is we're going to take our next time out really quickly, come back, and sink our teeth into the great debate.
Someone's screaming for a break.
Right, yeah, everybody else in WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. Great debate coming up on the other side of this time out. We got the fabulous Moolah taking on Miss Elizabeth, and Sonny scores off against Scary Sherry. We'll be back right after this.
Thank you.
case you missed it, this is what happens when WTR roasts Tim Stein.
Tim Stein is also not Jewish. It's horrible to assume the man is Jewish just because his name is Stein. You know, maybe that isn't even his real name. I mean, it's probably Goldstein or Steinberg. You don't know. He'd tell you himself if he were here tonight. And I'm told he's taking the day off for some holiday of his. I don't remember what it's called, but he pronounced it with a...
Tim really does work hard at making the WTR network what it is. Seriously, I'm not joking. Somebody pay this guy. He's like 65 years old. He needs retirement. He gets retirement, we get less Tim Stein. It's win-win, gang. Come on.
Happy birthday. You suck. You suck. You suck so bad. That's not true. You don't actually suck. You more or less blow. You've got a perfect face for gay porn, or at least a perfect mouth. That's what JJ tells me.
He's also not a pervert. The last couple of years, he had a wonderful and healthy relationship. He stayed with her every night, constant, wild sex. You know, it's sad when they had to break up because he couldn't find the puncture repair kit. Don't get me wrong, they tried to patch things up, but Tim just couldn't bear the sight of her anymore. Not with a duct tape holding her neck closed.
Tune in to all the great programming on the Wild Talk Radio Network, as you never know what will happen next.
Every Tuesday night, wrestling's biggest names stop by OWW Radio.
Hey, this is World War Animal. This is Rick, the model of Montel.
This is the king of old school, Keith Reno.
It's me. It's that D-O-double-G. This is George the Animal Steel.
Tune in as Alan Wojcik and his contributors bring you the online world of wrestling radio Tuesday nights at 9 Eastern.
If you want some, come get some.
Only on Wild Talk Radio Network on wildtalkradio.com.
19-2-6-7, sucker!
The following is the resume of Tim Stein. The inventor of the light bulb. The creator of the internet. A professional grass waterer. And, of course, the real voice of wrestling radio. While only some of these things are true, what really is true is that Wild Talk Radio Network is part of the social media revolution.
Holy crap, dude!
And you can be too. How do you ask? It's simple. All you have to do is like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network.
Aw, you guys doing that stupid Facebook stuff again?
And by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/wildtalkradio.
Kick ass, dude!
This is the way you can stay up to date on all things Wild Talk Radio. Do it today, or Tim Stein will chase you off your lawn.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, the whole fucking show, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio on the Wild Talk Radio Network, boo.
Welcome back, WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Hey, it's time for the Great Debate.
Now step into the ring with us for this week's Great Debate.
Oh my God! The creativity of some of the people in this network
we're just like HBK, and we insist on singing all of our own theme music.
Just wait, the roundtable will return, and Omega, you sing that one.
God damn it.
Anyway, yeah, Fabulous Moolah taking on Miss Elizabeth. Sunny squares off versus Sherry Martel. We're going to start with that one. We're going to go to you, Mace.
Which one are we? What are we doing? One?
Sunny versus Sherry.
Sunny versus Sherry. Go for Sherry.
Okay.
Only what? Because it gives me an excuse to get the quote-unquote original diva out of this fucking competition.
There you go, Omega.
Same exact sentiment. Sunny, no. Gone.
Yeah. Well, you know, Sunny is a 7 dressed up as an 8.5. As far as what she's done for women in the WWF/E. It's a clean sweep. Sherry Martel. Sherry gets a lot more. So Mace gets his wish.
Yay!
There you are. Sherry Martel moving on. All right. Moolah versus Elizabeth. Omega.
Oh, God. This should have been the finals. Moolah. Gotta be Moolah.
Okay. Just because, or what?
Because it's freaking Moolah.
Okay, just because it's Moolah. Shut up. Move on. Okay, Mace. I think he just imploded.
Yeah, it did sound like that.
Warrior!
That doesn't work here.
Damn it.
Can
I say both?
This is why I picked quickly. I didn't want to think about it.
Yeah, treat it like Omega did the Band-Aid. Just rip it, you know, quick and clean.
No. I'll do this the other way. Where's a coin? Seriously, I'm grabbing a coin.
It's going to land on the side.
Okay, heads Moolah.
Heads
Tails Elizabeth.
If it gets stuck to the ceiling, Warrior.
Elizabeth, because the coin said so.
There you go. All right. Well, my vote is for the fabulous Moolah. Moolah relevant in like 7 decades. Elizabeth only really relevant in parts of 2. Moolah had a huge impact on women's wrestling right from the outset. So, it's the fabulous Moolah. Do any of you find it somewhat ironic that of the final 4, only one of them is still alive?
Well, honestly, really think about it. How many good female wrestlers have come up in the last 15 years?
A handful.
It's been a serious drought.
Mm-hmm.
You have Trish Stratus, who will be a first ballot Hall of Famer as soon as she's on the ballot.
Yeah.
But that's essentially it. We've entered this unfortunate period where, you know, your female superstars are being, you know, very, very much replaceable and forgettable.
So you don't think, I'm not going for a cheap joke here, Omega, but you don't think that Lita would be in the same category, if not the same level as Trish?
Not in the same level. I'll give Lita enough credit to say she did evolve what a diva could be in the ring.
Okay, yeah.
Locker room antics aside, she'd probably be in the Hall of Fame someday. And honestly, I would not disagree.
Only
with
because
it.
They put Trish Stratus in the year before.
Trish would go in before, no doubt. But.
Yeah. So that sets up the final, kids. The final being Fabulous Moolah taking on Sherry Martel. We'll do that next week.
No, we're doing it tonight.
Ah, damn.
Fuck it, we'll do it live.
We're going to do it live tonight.
Damn. All right, so, let's see. Who should we start with? Mace. just to really fuck you up.
I've got no choice in this matter, Mola.
Okay. You've got no choice. Why?
Because, well, everybody else is going to say Mueller anyway, so I just want to be part of the crowd for once.
Oh, okay. Go. Whoa.
Oh, he's trying to be cool now.
Omega, fuck him up and say Shuri.
No, I'm going with Mueller, too. And no. I vote for her again for the same reason I voted for her the whole, for this whole debate. She has continually reinvented herself to keep entertaining and keep performing for wrestling fans.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's commendable and just, you know, she always made great entertainment no matter what era she was in.
There you go. Yeah, true. You know, I could spend half an hour explaining my decision and the reasons why I pick who I'm picking and why I didn't pick who I didn't pick. But, yeah, at the end of the day, Mueller. Mueller wins the grid to beat. I don't think anybody really has any kind of problem with that, do they?
No, because Spock's not here to complain.
He would call it, he would say it's rigged and it's a sham and all that fun stuff.
Yeah, probably.
It's a sham wow.
So there you go. That's the latest great debate. You know, we'll be doing another
Warrior
one.
Should have won it.
Yeah. next great debate, we'll all, no, it doesn't matter what the hell a great debate is, we're all going to vote for Warrior. We
damn
should
right.
Do that just to fuck with Spock.
Which is the greatest warrior to ever warrior?
Just for the hell of it. We're just set it up like regular, but when it comes time to vote, everybody vote for Warrior. We make sure that the Spug votes last.
Or why don't we just do the great debate of the greatest Ultimate Warrior match of all time?
Didn't we already do that one?
No, we didn't do Warrior match of all time, no. We did Macho.
But it's going to be the same match against itself like five times over.
Problem is, you see, the problem is the debate would get winded on its way in.
Just,
we just play the intro and all of us come back on the air.
Smooth, just like a peanut butter. So, there we go. All right, you know what? Rock brought up Roundtable earlier, and what the hell? Let's hear that intro.
This would be the Roundtable. Anthony Dancy Roundtable with no intro. Dun, 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 dun. With no intro. Dun, 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 dun. At least mine has lyrics.
Yeah. But we didn't play that just for the hell of it, Omega. We actually have a Roundtable question. Here it is,
so
guys.
So you didn't, in fact, play it just to humiliate me.
No, but thanks for the... idea. All right,
I love how long that took.
Yeah, never mind.
I haven't had one in such a long time. What's it called again? Idea.
Fuck off. All right, here it is. After 15 years, WWE is finally. Are they using Mark Henry to his fullest potential, or is this a push for? A few years too late when he was a relevant part of WWE programming when he was younger.
Oh, it's a few years too late.
Yeah.
I mean, no question of that. I mean, anytime you're going to give someone a push this big, you'd prefer it when they were younger, in better shape, didn't look like they, you know, filled up at the Hostess Cream Factory before the match.
Wait a minute. Didn't Mark Henry always look like that?
Not quite.
Not when he first debuted.
No.
Too many...
It's weird. They had this weird promotional tie-in for the Transformers movie where you could actually see what the superstars looked like when they first came into the WWE and what they look like today.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, Henry fattened up.
Ah. Too much Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Yeah, blame Spug.
There you go. It's all Spug's fault for feeding him so much KFC whenever he went to Wuhan.
Yeah. See, unfortunately, I see his push just as this. Well, we don't have a lot of people on SmackDown. Eventually, he's going to have to face Orton just because there's no one else here.
Okay, there you go. Mace.
Pretty much agreeing with Omega. You know, there's not many people left on SmackDown that are worth pushing to that main event title spot. But I think Henry just got the lucky straw.
Okay. But
whether it's too late in his career, well, how many times have we seen him push like this before and have it pan out to nothing?
Yeah.
It'll be a lot, people.
Yeah, quite a few times. I don't know why, but all of a sudden, sexual chocolate is stuck in my head, and it's like, oh, fuck, no, no more hands. So, yeah, you know.
Sexual chocolate, most awkward gimmick, hands down.
Yeah, no kidding. Okay, so it's like 15 years after he shows up on the fucking WWE. Maybe it's a little late. Maybe they could have utilized this angle even 5 years ago. But better late than never is the saying. And, you know, using Mark Henry the way they're using him right now, it's entertaining. It's good. People are talking about it. You know, he's basically put the Big Show on the shelf for a couple of months, you know, storyline-wise. Same thing with Kane, you know, storyline-wise. People are buying into, you know, the monster that Mark Henry has become.
But haven't we seen... We've seen this push before. They did it... it was Batista. Mark Henry versus Batista at one point. I'm sure they've done it Mark Henry versus The Undertaker at one point. I'm going to be big, mean, and monsterish. I'm going to run over everybody. And he starts running over everybody. Then he gets tall shot, gets his ass kicked, and then breaks something and disappears.
Yeah, okay. You do have a point. How dare they actually recycle a storyline and...
Same old shit.
Yeah, like they don't ever recycle any of their other storylines. Everything we see is, you know, fresh and exciting.
Have you not been watching Raw for the past month?
Oh, I've been watching it. Everybody's talking about CM Punk, you know, and calling out the boss and doing this and that and the other fucking thing. And it's really great.
Yeah,
it's compelling.
I know. It's awesome version 3.0.
Yeah.
But
I was just saying it happened.
It's working with, you know, the hardcore marks and all that. It's working with them instead of completely ignoring them. That's the big difference in that one.
Yeah, well,
whereas Austin was just somebody people could get behind.
Yeah.
Why? Because we were in an era where you wanted to kick the crap out of the boss.
You know, amazingly enough, that's pretty much the main focus of the discussion with WWE. Is, oh, what's going on with CM Punk and WWE, blah, 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 and nobody's paying attention to anything else going on. Really.
Well, as I said on OWW Radio, we're going to have a new champ next week, and nobody's going to give a flying fuck.
Yeah, well, especially if it's Rey Mysterio. I'm sorry, I won't give a flying fuck. I just don't buy it. You know, it was several years ago when Dwayne Johnson was still The Rock. What year did Spider-Man come out with Tobey, what's his name, McGuire?
Call offhand.
2002, I think.
Something around 2002, right?
2002.
As I reach over to look at the Spider-Man box sets.
Yeah, it's 2002.
Now, do any of you know what Dwayne Johnson, he was still known as The Rock back then. Do you know what he said about Spider-Man and Tobey Maguire?
What did he say, Tim?
That it sucked balls?
Well, kind of, sort of, but why use two words when 10 will do? He said, yeah, Spider-Man, great idea, great concept, fantastic thoughts, looking forward to a great movie, but Tobey Maguire, sorry, I just can't buy into it. I mean, if your hero's a tough guy, he's got to look it.
Spider-Man's not a tough guy, though.
Well, you know what I mean, Omega. Capable of beating the fuck out of people.
Well,
he's got
a
fucking part.
Well, that's kind of the hard part about Spider-Man, because he's supposed to be geeky and unsuspecting.
Yeah.
He's not supposed to strike you as the hero type.
Ah, that was refreshing. Ah. Well, that being said, I think we might as well get this done. Let's do this.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Russell Talk Radio quick hits.
Wow.
That's right, it's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hit.
We are going to start with one Omega this evening for quick hits.
No, that would be the Omega.
The Omega of...
One Omega, the one and only Omega.
Yeah, the one and only Omega of TJOmega.blogspot.com. Omega, what is your favorite Goldust moment?
Favorite Goldust moment?
Yes.
It's random. I do not think of the gold one very often. That's tough. All I can remember is a lot of hissing at the camera. See, this is the kind of question I'm absolutely horrible at, because I'm trying to remember a specific point in history that I really would have liked to have time to go back and look through, just to refresh my horrible memory.
Yeah.
I've always... I don't know. It's probably always going to just be his entrance.
Like, I was about to take the save course and just pick the entrance.
Because I think we said it during one of the great debates, it's just such a unique entrance that gets the character off so well.
Okay, Tim.
And it was in widescreen before widescreen was available.
This is true, before widescreen became cool. Tim, do you agree with Steve Austin that WWE should sign Samoa Joe?
Yes and no. Yes, because Joe deserves the exposure that WWE would give him. And no, because I just get the funny feeling they would try to make him Yokozuna 3.5. Really. They wouldn't use him properly. That's my thing. I mean, he's the Samoan submission machine. At least TNA lets him do what he's good at doing half the time. I don't have that faith in WWE.
Okay. Mace, it's been roughly 15 years this month that the NWO was started. What is your favorite memory of the New World Order?
God, 15 years, really?
Yeah.
Holy fuck.
1996.
Time flies when you don't give a shit.
Yeah, 1996. Bash at the Beach.
Yeah, again, this is like a mayor, you know, got to go back and pinpoint one specific moment in time. And the thing is, it's not even an NWO moment that my mind keeps flashing back to. My mind keeps flashing back to all the times where you would have, you know, the NWO beating, you know, probably Lex Luger or Diamond Dallas Page or, you know, somebody in the ring, and Sting would come down the rafters and you'd watch them all scamper like rats. You know, it was always the gangland mentality where they would beat up on everybody when it was 1,000 to 1, but all of a sudden when that bat came out, whoa, that's too much for me, man. You know, let's not forget, you know, it's 1,000 to 1 here. It's 1,000 to 2. One of them has a bat. Mind you, if you want to get real specific, it would be any time either the fans or a wrestler got their hands on Eric Bischoff and beat the snot out of him.
Just a follow-up to that one for you, Mace. Who's your favorite member of the NWO Black and White?
Favorite member of the NWO Black and White?
Yes.
Virgil!
You stole my joke, Omega, goddammit. I was always a fan of Hall and Nash back in those days. You know, just seeing those two goofballs doing whatever the hell they wanted. Especially when it got to the point where they started bringing Hall's drinking problem into it. I'm sorry, I can't help but laugh at the guy's pain, you know, despite the fact of where he is today.
Right.
So, yeah, Hall and Nash.
Okay, we'll go back to Omega. Omega, does Rob Van Dam still have the ability to be a headlining star in 2011 despite TNA's crappy booking?
I'll give him the easy question.
Well, you know, where's my fruit-related question that usually comes at the end of these?
There will be
Omega,
no
if you were a fruit, what kind of fruit would you be?
I'm no fruit, sir.
No, no, no. It would be, if Rob Van Dam was a fruit, what fruit would he be?
You just combined two humiliating thoughts into one. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. I'll take my paycheck.
Pin me, pay me.
And as far as the actual question goes, yeah, he's still perfectly capable of it. They just don't use him correctly. You've got the most talented guy on the entire damn roster who could actually be teaching the young, the X Division stars how the hell to work a match and still get in all your high flying impressive moves, and they do nothing with him.
Now the follow up is, will he be a headlining star again in 2011?
No. They really don't know what they have with him. They're not even going to try. It's TNA. No faith anymore at all.
Okay. Tim, who would make the better face? Sheamus or Wade Barrett?
You're a bastard. You know that.
I know.
People wondering why I'm calling you names. We had this discussion Friday night, and how long did that discussion go on for?
That went on a little while, and, you know, figured you'd get the answer.
Come on, Tim, pick a European.
Yeah, there you go. I'd have to say, despite what you say, Rock, I have to go with Wade Barrett would make a better fan favorite.
And why is that?
First off, because he doesn't look like the fucking Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. Or a jar of mayonnaise. Or Ronald McDonald. I'm sorry, it's hard to cheer for a guy that looks like Ronald McDonald.
So that's your reason?
He's better on the microphone than Sheamus, for one thing. He's more eloquent in a speech and doesn't fall back to saying fella when he's trying to, you know, talk to somebody or at somebody. Wade Barrett is just overall more convincing as a total package. He would be more convincing to me as a babyface than Sheamus would be.
Okay, and finally we go back to Mace. Mace, how much would you pay for a phone call from your favorite wrestler of all time?
I know I wouldn't pay $500, I know that much.
What, you won't pay $500 to Skype with Ric Flair?
Hell no.
For 5 minutes.
To be honest, I wouldn't really bother paying to Skype with them to get a phone call from them, considering I'd rather that they would call into OWW Radio Tuesday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on WildTalkRadio.com.
Ooh, look at that. That was smooth, man.
And who are we talking about?
I believe this week we have Maria Kanellis.
No, I mean who...
Tim earlier referred to like a leader STD.
I meant who you would like to have call into OWW Radio.
Raven.
Yeah. Believe it or not, I wouldn't really care at the moment for a phone call from Raven, considering, you know, we made the offer quite a few times, and he just doesn't want to do the show. So, well, Scotty, fuck you, buddy.
Eat my shorts.
Pretty much. Go pet burning dogs for all I care. At the moment, I would actually like to get Steve Corino back on the program. Only because I hate his face.
And that would do it for Quick Hits.
That's it. That's another edition of WTR's Tonight, Rough Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thanks, everybody, for joining us.
I think it says a lot for Ric Flair to basically turn himself into the most expensive 900 number of all time. Hey, I'm going to wrestle either Kurt Angle or Sting. And I'm also prostituting myself over the phone.
Come Skype with me.
Yeah, there it is. WTR Sunday Wrestle.
Hold on. We have a phone call.
Gentlemen.
Oh, you're just in time. Bye, motherfucker.
What's that?
I said you're just in time to say goodbye, motherfucker.
Well, whatever.
Whatever. Oh, tonight,
I just got out of Denny's. So.
Denny's?
It went well. What's that?
Denny's. I thought you were wrestling.
I was. We stopped at Denny's after wrestling.
Here you go.
I required food. It went well. It went all right. It was a short match. 8.5 minutes, I think we went. Something like that. It wasn't very long.
Mm.
Pretty good. Put him over cleanly. Did my job.
You should have come up here last night for TCW Wrestling and had a match with Logan Cross. You could have made him look like $1 million.
That bad, huh?
I'm not saying anything else just in case anybody's listening.
Oh, it couldn't be that bad.
No.
It can't be that bad. We had a guy tonight who was doing a kendo stick spot, dude.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. Used the wrong end of the kendo stick.
Okay. How stupid is that?
And then, when told in the ring to correct the problem, hit the guy harder with the wrong end.
Oh, please tell me somebody stepped him.
Yeah, well, no, not really.
Oh, too bad.
He is what you would call a
special guy.
Owner of the company.
Wait a minute.
So,
he's the owner of the company and he fucked up?
He's one of them.
Oh my God.
God damn it, I'm on the wrong road.
Quick, turn around.
No, I missed the turnpike. So, yeah, no, we went out first, me and Jay Black did. I used the stretch muffler, though.
Yeah.
The crowd had no idea what the hell to do. They saw the stretch muffler, and I heard, no clue. Absolutely no clue what to do. They remind me of the real hardcore end of the ECW crowd. Like, it's just about the blood and the violence, and they'll cheer for anybody who hits somebody else with a weapon.
Uh-huh.
Like, when they see actual technical wrestling, they have no fucking clue what to do. None. Absolutely no fucking clue. We were doing some nice chaining. I did a lot of work in his leg because he's got a leg injury. A lot of submission holds, you know, a lot of leg submissions, stuff like that. And they didn't know what to do. They were dead quiet almost the entire match, except for a few insults hurled my way about my dick size under my kilt and something having to do with my mom.
That's creative and inventive.
Yeah, it's kind of really frustrating because it's like, you know, I'm out here, you know, we're working, we're trying to make this, you know, look good, look believable, and yet you have fucking morons who show up, drink beer, and think that, you know, that all they have to, that, you know, this is what they do, and they think that, you know, it's just hitting people over the head with shit and, you know, blood and violence. And it's just rather fucking frustrating.
Then,
of course, well, and you know how this goes, Tim, because the moment the show's over, you have all the idiots who get in the ring. Or try to get in the ring as you're tearing it down.
Yeah.
To take pictures or whatnot, you have the either the drunken idiots or the ones who are just fucking retarded. Oh, give me a stunner! With their idiot friends. No respect for professional wrestling. None.
That's not
good. Oh, well. I'm going to have to work that into a promo somehow now.
Oh, damn. Yeah, I went to a wrestling show last night.
Did you?
Yeah, TCW Wrestling here in Calgary. They had some really good workers on the program last night. Really good.
Right. Oh, well.
Only
I missed quick hits, didn't I?
There was a lack of a crowd.
You know, that happens, though. That really, it would, you know, like, we drew probably 85 tonight.
Yeah.
Something like that. Last show we drew about 75, and the week before that we probably had about 100.
Uh-huh.
Hey, you know, it's weird, because you go to some shows, like the shows at the bars always seem to draw well, but you go to like an actual like show where they're putting, you know, they're flyering every car, it's all over the, you know, the flyers in every, you know, little mom and pop shop window that you can find in that area, and you may draw 35, 40 fucking people. It just amazes me.
Well, let me ask you something. You got a crowd of 150 people, and you go out there and you do your job, and then the next show you've got 20 people. Which show do you work harder at?
The show with 20 people.
And why would that be?
Because you have to work harder, because for whatever reason, you know, 130 people decided that it wasn't worth coming back to.
Yeah.
So you got to do whatever you can to, you know, to make sure that those 20 people go to their friends and say, hey, you need to come see this. This is good stuff. Yeah. You know?
Well, word of mouth, word of mouth is your best advertising.
Word of mouth, word of mouth for advertising, for indie promotions is the only way. Because if you don't get word of mouth advertising, that promotion will falter and die. Plain and simple. You have to have word of mouth advertising, or else it doesn't get over.
There you go.
It's just, it doesn't. It, you know, find somebody to tell me I'm wrong, and I will prove them that I'm right. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. But seeing as you missed it, Spug, why don't we give you your quick hits?
Hooray, my favorite part.
Are you ready?
Yep.
All righty then. So, your first one tonight. The greatest wrestling storyteller is...
Wrestling storyteller? Like, actual, like, stories in an interview or in the ring storyteller?
In the ring.
In the ring. Telling your story.
It's a toss-up. Either Ric Flair or his protege in Triple H. Because both of them are magnificent at sucking the crowd in and making you either want to watch them get their ass kicked or kick someone's ass in the ring. I mean, their psychology is almost flawless. It's absolutely exceptional the way they do things.
All right, there you go. So, your next one. Okay. Has anyone, or have you ever, and he's doing the air quotes, checked someone's oil?
Wait, what?
Okay, let me explain this to you. Hulk Hogan.
Okay,
Hulk Hogan backs. He's got a story out. It's on video, and the claim was made by TMZ's Mike Walters, and Hogan's story backs this up. Wrestlers will press a finger on the bottom end of an opponent in an effort to throw them off their game, also known as checking the oil.
Oh.
In other words, has anybody shoved a thumb up your ass during a wrestling match?
Yeah, once. I got that in amateur wrestling.
Okay.
We were at a state tournament, a state qualifier, not an actual state, but it was a qualifier for state, and I had a guy who he was in the mount, you know, when we were starting, and when he tried to ankle pick me, take me down, he thumbed me in the asshole, and then I wizarded him, turned around, and like crowbarred him right in the face when I went for a cradle, and he didn't try it again.
That taught him. Okay.
Yeah, when I went for a cradle, I literally forearmed him right in the fucking face, and he did not do that shit again. And I think I just missed the fucking turnpike again.
Well, get off the phone while you're driving. What the hell are you doing?
I found it. This area, like where we were to go eat, it's all fuckered up. Like, there's a main highway that runs right through the center of Elyria. And everything to get out is all exits. Like, the mall area is all exits to get off at. And so, to get back on the highway is a really weird, like, wraparound. And when you get back on, you're way ahead of where you gotta be. So you have to, like, turn around, like, four times to get where you gotta go. It's fucked up and stupid.
Well,
and I would like to find the city planner and kick him in the dick.
There you go. Speaking about getting lost on your way home from a wrestling show, I just want to give a shout-out and say hey to Rom Dante, who wrestled last night. Yeah, hey, Todd. Thanks for tuning in. A little bit late. Thanks for the plug. It's all good. Don't worry about it. Thank you very much for the show last night. And we had, don't worry. We talked about it a little bit. I do believe that you've got a Facebook page for TCW Wrestling, and asked everybody to go and check out the TCW page, do a search on Facebook, and support your local indie wrestling federation, everybody, no matter where the hell you live. Right, Mace?
Yes. If I had anybody worth plugging, I'd plug them right now, but I'm not going to.
Support the good ones.
There you are.
You know, you can go to any indie promotion you want, like any indie show you want, and you'll know which ones are good and credible and which ones are fly-by-night. I mean, it's kind of easy to figure it out. And don't be quick to judge a book by its cover. Like, IWA, it looks like shit the way it's presented on the internet. Like, but the thing is the crowd is always hot for the most part, and it's in a patio on a bar, so it's not like we can, you know, really do a whole lot of shots as far as, you know, camera shots of shooting the bar area, because I think we can get trouble for that. So, you know, it looks kind of janky, but it isn't.
Go ahead.
No, I really kind of get reading comments on YouTube videos and stuff of other promotions. People are like, oh, those are backyarders and yard carders. And I'm sitting there shaking my head going, and I'm not just talking about, you know, IWA, I'm talking about other ones, because there's a couple other promotions around the Ohio area that really only run steadily April to, say, November, because, you know, they work the outside patio of a bar. You know, that's where they do their shows, and they may do like one show a month during the winter. But they're working a show every week or every other week after that, when it's spring and summer and fall roll around. And it just kinda irritates me that people are so quick to judge about indie promotions. Look, we're not the fucking WWE. We don't have million-dollar lighting trellises and HD, you know, HD plasma fucking video screens that we can put up.
Yeah.
You know, we have to deal with what we have.
And
so
the odds are excellent. You go to an indie wrestling show, you're going to be 10 times more entertained overall by the product in the ring.
I don't necessarily know about that. I don't, because to be quite honest, in the majority of indie wrestling over the past, I would say, 8 to 10 years, and I know Mace can agree with me, even in Australia, has become really watered down. Really watered down. When you're in major metropolitan areas, Cleveland, Columbus, Toledo, just to speak of my area, for example,
yeah,
I can probably say there's got to be at least 25 to 30 promotions that run some semblance of a monthly to bi-weekly show. And it's normally the majority of the same guys working for all those promotions. One guy may work for four different promotions.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of watered it down a little bit.
Well, it all depends on how far apart the promotions are. Like here in Alberta, you know, you got a promotion in Calgary, right? Then you got one in Red Deer. Then you got one in Edmonton. Red Deer is an hour and a half drive from Calgary, right?
Yeah.
First from Calgary. That's not going to water it down if you're working all three shows.
No, but you're in a different situation, okay?
Yeah.
While your populations are dense in your major cities are spread pretty far apart. I mean, when you get, we'll take Ohio for example, right? You have Cleveland, Columbus, which is an hour and a half, Youngstown, which is 45 to 50 minutes from Cleveland.
Yeah.
Toledo, which is about a 2.5 hour drive from downtown Cleveland.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of low, you know, outlying suburbs that run, you know, a lot of the promotions like to run them out in the suburbs. It's really not out of, or I forgot about Akron too.
Yeah.
But it's really not out of the realm of possibility to see one guy work a show in Columbus one weekend, go to Akron the next, go to Youngstown the next after that, and then back to Cleveland and do the whole loop again. And it's, you know, the same 25 to 30 guys who travel and do all those promotions.
Yeah. Well, it also depends on whether or not you're doing the same program at every venue, too.
And a lot of them are. A lot of them are. They're like, oh, well, I'm working, you know, we'll just take some names, for example. You know, you have, Rebus, who is actually a worker in the area. You have Rebus, and he's working DJ Dynamite, and, you know, they're doing a program in Akron. Well, they go to Columbus, and the promoter's like, well, I've never seen you guys before. Well, we work each other all the time. So they did the same program in Columbus. Well, then they go up to, you know, back up to Cleveland, and then they do the same program there. They're watered down in major metropolitan areas, and the same matches, essentially, in those areas really kind of turns fans off to the product. I mean, you're not pulling shit out that people haven't seen. Like, I used the stretch muffler tonight, dude.
Yeah.
I can count the wrestlers on, like, one hand that I've seen pull that move off and make it look good. You've got to be able to keep the crowd entertained and do shit that they haven't seen before. Not every night, but at least on a consistent enough basis that makes them want to come back and see you again.
Oh, yeah, no, there's no argument there. But what I'm going to do, I know that the promoter from TCW is listening right now, and I'm going to talk to him and see
Tim, we can barely hear you. You're low.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Eh, a little bit better.
A little bit better? Well, yeah. Hang on. There, how's that?
All right, that's good.
That's good? Okay, yeah, I know that he's listening right now. I'm going to talk to the promoter for TCW Wrestling and see if I can get him to agree to let me bring a couple of video cameras to his next show here in Calgary. And we'll tape his matches, and we'll show the matches right here on Wrestle Talk Radio. But that being said, it's time to get the hell out of here. Everybody, don't forget, we got Maria Kanellis this Tuesday night at OWW Radio. Wednesday night, Omega and the gang are back with OTL. You guys got anything in particular you're going to be talking about, or is it just whatever?
See if I can get Omega to hang up again.
Will Omega hang up again? Did someone die in Spider-Man, the musical? Tune in to Otaku Talk Live.
And find out, yeah, and of course, Saturday night, midnight-ish Eastern, or as close as they can get it, you're gonna be treated to another episode of CB Radio!
Music trivia, maybe? Or guess the name of that tune, sort of? We'll see.
I think there's a pay-per-view this weekend.
Alright, check us out, facebook.com/wildtalkradio network or twitter.com/wildtalkradio. We'll tell you if we're on the air covering UFC or Strikeforce or something.
There you go, yeah. And of course, next Sunday night, another edition of Wrestle Talk Radio, WTR, Sunday night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Everybody, we're out of here. Thanks for tuning in. Catch you next week. Bye. Go away.